Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Awilco Drilling PLC's Q2 presentation. My name is Courtney, and I'll be your coordinator for today's event. For the duration of the call, you'll be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you'll have the opportunity to ask questions. If you need assistance at any time, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you'll be connected to an operator. I am now handing over to your host, Jon Brice, to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Thanks, Courtney, and welcome to Awilco Drilling PLC's Q2 2016 presentation. As Courtney said, I'm Jon Oliver Brice, CEO, and with me today on the call is Ian Wilson, our CFO. So as per normal, we will walk through the presentation, which is on our website. So if you have the website up and you have the presentation, we will look at slide 3, first of all, and that tells us the normal agenda. We'll talk about highlights, then we'll go into the numbers in a bit more detail. We'll then have a look at operations. We'll then talk about the market, then we'll do a summary, and finally, we'll go on to Q&A. So slide 5 then is the highlights from the quarter. The first highlight then, Awilco Drilling announced a dividend of $0.10 per share in respect to the quarter. And that is derived from revenue of $24.4 million, EBITDA of $12.2 million, and net profit of $6.9 million. The costs during the quarter then, OpEx, average OpEx, came out at $53,600 per day per rig, but that is an average. And in terms of the WilHunter, that was a mix between hot and warm stack, and the WilPhoenix, that was a mixture between some yard stay, some standby, and some mobilization time. So a few different activities and rates applicable to generate the average of $53,600 per day per rig for the quarter. Total contract backlog at the end of Q2 was $231 million, and remember that is driven by the start of the standby rate from the 21st of April. And then the final one there, the final bullet highlight is WilHunter stacking costs. We reduced them during the quarter, and that was essentially going from a hot stack to a warm stack. That was a fully crewed situation to a much reduced manning on the rig. So those are the highlights on slide 5. What we'll do now is we'll look at the financial results in a bit more detail, the numbers in a bit more detail, and if you have the presentation, we'll start with slide 7, which is the income statement. So Ian, would you like to walk us through that?
Yes, okay. On the Q2 income statement, contract revenue of $24.4 million for the quarter, that represents primarily a standby rate earned from the, for the period from 21st of April through to the commencement of mobilization to the new Apache location on the 22nd of June. And then following a four-day mobilization period, we were on full operating rates effective 26th of June through to the end of the quarter. The rig operating expenses of $9.8 million, that's an average, as Jon mentioned, of $53.6 per day. And the WilPhoenix been up there just below $80,000 per day for the average, and the WilHunter just in the region of $30,000. So, the WilPhoenix benefited from the slightly reduced operating expenses during the standby period. And the WilHunter, to note there that it was not fully in the warm stack status for the full quarter, so had some higher costs during the transition period during the month of April. Additionally, both rigs, both operating expense levels, did benefit somewhat from beneficial exchange rates, dollar to the pound, and we hope to see that continue in the foreseeable future. The G&A expense of $2.5 million, primarily in line with guidance, and includes about $200,000 in respect of the LTIP provision. Depreciation of $3.4 million, slightly lower than we'd expect for the quarter. The SPS amortization in respect of the WilPhoenix, that was accelerated in quarter one, and we'll recommence the amortization of the SPS now that we're back in operations, effective start of quarter three. Total cost, therefore, of $15.7 million, resulting in operating profit of $8.7 million. Interest expense of $1.9 million, all in respect to the bond interest. Total net financial items of $1.9 million, resulting in a profit before tax of $6.9 million. And the same with respect to the net profit, equating to an earnings per share of 23 cents.
Okay, Ian, thanks for that. If we can look now at the balance sheet for Q2, and that's slide 8, can you walk us through those numbers?
Okay, rigs, machinery and equipment of $245.3 million. That includes additions in the quarter of $5 million, part of that relating to the SPS and the Will Phoenix. This is a carryover cost that was not an increase to the overall cost that we previously guided on. So total SPS cost was in the region of $16 million. And then there was also $3.5 million additions in respect of the BOP for the Phoenix and also, in fact, a small payment in respect of the Will Hunter. Offsetting that was the depreciation charge of $3.4 million, so resulting increase in net book value of $1.6 million. Deferred tax asset, $3.9 million. Primarily relating to losses incurred during quarter one, and that will reverse in due course. Premium payments and accrued revenue, $27.2 million, and that represents the bulk of that represents the standby rate for the standby period. And at this point in time, Apache are disputing that amount, and we were waiting to get resolution in respect to that, and we'll discuss that in a bit more detail later on. But that's primarily accrued revenue or invoiced revenue as still awaiting payment. No movement in inventory. The cash and cash equivalent of $37.9 million, a little bit less than expected, but primarily due to timing of the tax payments from Malta, and that was done just immediately prior to the end of the quarter, and immediately post-quarter end, we received the tax credit of $23.2 million, thus boosting the cash balance. The current tax of $44 million, that's the tax receivable, and that includes the amount that was converted to cash effectively just post-quarter end. So total assets, $363.2 million. No change in paid in capital, slight movement in retained earnings due to the profit for the quarter. The long-term interest-bearing debt, down $5 million to $95 million following the payment in April. And with respect to the trade and other creditors, accruals and provisions, nothing unusual to report there. The current tax payable, $21.1 million. That is virtually all in respect of Maltese tax payable, which will be paid during quarter 2, 2017. That's all I've got to say.
Okay, thanks, Ian. So moving on to operational to the operational update. That's slide 10, if you have it in front of you. Start with the contract status. As of today, then, contract backlog of $214 million. You can see the two rigs shown there on the slide, starting with the Will Phoenix. We are back working for Apache, drilling a well for them in the North Sea. And that contract will run until Q1 2018. The Will Hunter, well, what do we do in Q1? I mentioned we went from hot stack to warm stack. We went from, therefore, a full complement of around about 100 people down to about 18 people, and that's nine working back-to-back. We looked to save other costs by deferring the SPS, which was in scheduled, the drop-dead date was the 31st of May, and we also put a hold on CapEx. So really, a big change in spend on the Will Hunter as it sat there idle in Invergordon, going from hot stack to warm stack, deferring the SPS and putting a hold on CapEx. Going forward, Awoka Drilling has now taken the view that due to market conditions, certainly short-term, We have now elected to put the rig from warm stack to cold stack. So that means we will be effectively downmanning the rig completely, and we will be removing some equipment for storage. So that is ongoing as we speak. So that's the Will Phoenix and the Will Hunter. Moving on to slide 11 then. Operational update. The Will Phoenix recommenced drilling operations on the 26th of June for Apache. Operational uptime, it was only a short period of that quarter was actually operational uptime just at the end of it, but very good, 97.8%. It's working well, working safely. And then the last point there on the operational update, Wilco Drilling and Apache are in dialogue about the standby period between the 21st of April and the 22nd of June, and hope to resolve that in the near future. Okay, on to slide 12, which is still part of operational update, and that is the dividend distribution. So Awoka Drilling announced a dividend payment of $1 per share. You got me a bit excited there, Ian. $1 per share, with 10 cents per share. That's payable on the 23rd of September and will be trade ex-dividend on the 23rd of August. So one more time, 10 cents, not a dollar, payable. And the company's dividend policy remains unchanged. And I'll quote it to you one more time. And that is, the company intends to distribute all free cash flow above a robust cash buffer to support operational working capital requirements and capital expenditure, including SPS. So that is our unchanged dividend policy. Onto the market outlook, which is slide 14, if you have the presentation. So the headline there is decreasing UK day rates and limited number of new opportunities. During the quarter, there has been some awards. One has been made public. I believe that two others have actually taken place, but they're not been made public. The one that's been made public was Nexen to drilling contractor Paragon for the MSS-1, and that was one well. And that was at $110,000 for that per day for that work. So in our view, the market has clearly deteriorated during the quarter with these new fixture. This is the one that's been announced, certainly very close to break even. There has been a bit of an uptake recently in terms of inquiries, etc., over and above the other two fixtures, which we believe have been secured but not announced. There's more tendering going on over and above that, and we could read that as operators viewing the market as reaching the bottom of the pricing cycle and therefore looking to secure rig time. But certainly at break-even levels, it appears very much to be the bottom of the cycle. Okay, on slide 15, this is the shows the UK fleet. Seven drilling contractors operating in the UK for semi-submersibles. 22 rigs, 14 are working or effectively working. One is warm stack, that's the Will Hunter, but as we just announced, that will go to cold stack. Seven were already cold stacked, and our view is that going forward, some of these cold stack rigs now will start to be scrapped when drilling contractors do their quarterly meetings later in the year and take a view on the 17 market, which appears to be cool, and so that could well trigger more scrapping of cold rigs. But Awoka Drilling is not planning to scrap the Will Hunter. We are simply putting it to cold from warm for the purpose of preserving cash. Okay, slide 16 then. The headline here is still about the markets, as the UK market is becoming increasingly seasonal. What we can say then is that continued rig attrition is positive for rebalancing the rig market in the future, the UK rig market in the future, and we've seen some rigs go for scrap, and as I said, we are anticipating some more to go in short order. We're hopeful of some more to go in short order. More discussions and inquiries for decommissioning work. So this is kind of finally happening. It's certainly decommissioning work that's being talked about rather than drilling at the moment. The number of active rigs in the UK is expected to fluctuate between summer and winter, and what this means is it's, as I said at the start of this slide, seasonal activity is becoming more prevalent, at least in the short term, and this is oil companies electing to take rigs short term, but in the summer only when the better weather is there, so the uptime, the operational uptime is better. So that's that appears to be happening as well. And then the last point then on the market is a recent contract award, well, the last one, low day rates approaching break-even as rigs continue to roll off contract. So a more challenging market, certainly short-term. So let me summarize page 18. And again, Ian, thanks for pointing out the announcement of the dividend of 10 cents per share. Wilco Drilling is initiating the process of cold stacking the Will Hunter, and this is very much to preserve cash and give ourselves options. Wilco Drilling's contract backlog of $214 million as of today. Market uncertainty continues with respect to the timing and the shape of the recovery. And then finally, Wilco Drilling continues to evaluate market opportunities on a case-by-case basis. So that takes us to the end of the presentation, and Courtney, back to you for some Q&A.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and would like to withdraw your question, please press star 2. You will be advised when to ask your question. Okay, so we currently have no questions in the queue. Please, just as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Okay, so our first question comes from the line of Max. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Max.
I was just wondering if you could elaborate on the cash payment for taxes in the quarter.
Is this the multi-cash payment?
Yeah.
I think it's very important to elaborate on the fact that there's tax out and then there's a credit back, because it actually looks like quite a big tax payment, but the net position is different.
Yeah. We've got... the structure that we had in place resulted in the airport charter arrangement, and the assets were actually owned by the two Maltese companies, and the Maltese tax is payable 18 months after the end of the appropriate fiscal year, and the payment was due by the end of quarter two. So we made the payments, and that payment in respect to the Will Phoenix was $27.2 million. But as a result of making that payment, we're subsequently able to obtain a tax credit equivalent to 6/7 of that amount, and that amount was received just shortly after the end of the quarter. We received $23.2 million just after the quarter. So there's a timing difference of generally about 10 days between the payment of the tax and receipt of the tax credit.
All right. Understood. Thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from the line of Tom Sandlow. Please go ahead.
Hello, Tom.
Hi. Thank you for your time. Could you tell me what actions you've taken or anticipate taking to reduce G&A in line with the reduction in revenue?
G&A, well, shore-based costs. We have already reduced that during last year and again this year. We've looked at personnel costs. We've taken looked at remuneration, fringe, bonuses, etc. It's a very light headcount, so there's really not much scope for reduction in headcount, but we've certainly looked at a reduction in terms of remuneration where possible. In terms of bigger cost savings, we've obviously looked at OPEX, and we've been pretty successful. We've had success there, one, in terms of us trying to squeeze that cost, but two, we've had an advantage with the FX, certainly very recently with this the pound and the dollar coming off. In terms of CAPEX, we look at that very thoroughly. Everything is evaluated, scrutinized in great detail before signed off. So in terms of what we call SG&A, in terms of CAPEX and OPEX, cost efficiency is absolutely number one. So.
Thank you.
Okay, so we currently have no further questions in the queue. So just as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star one now.
Yeah, Courtney, while you're, I don't know if the audience can still hear me, but while we're waiting for another caller, I'll maybe just add a bit more to Tom's question there, that in addition to looking at cost savings in our SG&A and our CAPEX and our OPEX, that, you know, further cost savings, further preservation of cash for the company going forward in this uncertain market, that was a trigger for us to go from a hot stack to a warm stack situation where we reduced our OPEX considerably. And it's also been the driver for now, just yesterday or this morning, in fact, announcing that we're going to go from warm stack to cold stack to further reduce costs and further preserve cash and protect the company going forward. So something else to share.
Okay, so we currently have no further questions in the queue, so I'll hand back over to yourself, John, to conclude today's call.
Brilliant. Okay, thank you, Courtney, for looking after us today, and thanks to the audience who phoned in for listening to Awilco Drilling PLC's Q2 2016 presentation. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now replace your handsets.
Are we good, Courtney?